to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magical Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 15 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. This week, we're back from our 2 weeks off to bring you our year in review for 2013. We're going to go back and forth and talk about some of the things that really stuck out for 2013 in the parks and the Disney company. So here we go. This is Ed.
This is Jimmy.
This is Tom.
So in this week's show, we're going to talk about some of the things that made 2013 special to us on the Walt Disney properties. There were so many different things that happened this year inside the parks, inside the movie theaters, and then just in general for the company itself, that it was a pretty special year. So we'll go one by one, kind of bring up a topic and then talk about it. Now, I guarantee we're not going to talk about everything that happened. Unfortunately, we don't have the 3 hours Ricky Bergani uses every year. So we'll cover some of the things we thought stood out, and whatever we missed, let us know. Send us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com and help us out. Then maybe next week we'll talk about some of the things we missed. So anyway, some of the things that stood out, and for me, one of the things that stood out this year, and this isn't really in any order, but this was the year that they introduced the RFID mugs at the resorts, which in conjunction with the bracelets at the parks. But the things with the mugs in the resorts stood out to me because that actually was something that's been promised for about 4 or 5 years, where they kept saying that when you buy the mug this year, it only worked this year, and you can't bring mugs back from previous years. So I haven't actually experienced that, but it was interesting to see that they finally came through with that. And it's interesting to see what's going to happen as we go in the future. I know Tom was just down recently. Do they have those mugs in all the resorts, or did they have it in your resort?
Yeah, they're in all of them that I saw. They're available in every single one that we were at, and I think they were on a complete rollout when we were down there.
Now, the only question I really have about them was, do they really limit how many cups of soda you can get in a day?
Kind of. We didn't buy it, but I've known people that have, and I've watched YouTube videos on it. You fill it up, and if you instantly try to fill up again, it'll say, you know, it's your next one's not available for another minute and a half or something like that. It's kind of weird. I'm not a big proponent to the whole concept as a whole, so that's why I really didn't partake in purchasing the mug. It's kind of my own little protest against the whole setup.
Well, when we went down, we had the dining plan, so we got the mugs along with the dining plan. We had the free dining when we went in October, and it had the RFID chip, but I didn't have any issues like that. Basically, when they put the little mug, when you went to the counter with the mug, they put it on a little machine and put the date that you were departing, and actually it went past that date. It went like, it may have went, I don't even know, they didn't even ask the day of the departing, so it was so many days from the day you purchased the mug, and every time you sat it up on the little stand, it would tell you when it expired, and it might have been 14 or 20 days after the trip started, but I did not have any issues where I sat the mug down and put drink in it and dumped it out and put it there again. I never had it tell me that I had to wait a certain amount of time to get drink.
Did you try doing it 2 in a row like that?
I'm sure I did. I'm sure I put something in my cup, you know, put a drink in my cup and dumped it out and or rinsed it out. And no, I didn't get anything like that. And I didn't realize that this is something that they've been talking about for years. I thought this was something brand new.
Oh, I've always heard about this, and it's always been the big discussion. If you, the surest way to start a fight on the Disboards is to bring up the topic of, should I bring back my cup from last year, or should I have to buy a new one? Because it goes through a whole bunch of different ethic questions as far as, well, are you cheating the company by doing that? And a lot of the people will bring up points about how in the beginning, when they first started it, it was mostly a advertisement for life. You buy this cup, then for the lifetime, every time you come to Disney properties, you can drink a drink. And then the other side of it, it's like, well, no, that's only for your trip, the time you're down there. And I understand it when it's the dining plan and they give you the cup. Well, it makes sense. It should only be good for the time you're there for the dining plan. But it's kind of shady when you're buying it for $15. I admit I have brought the cup back in the past. But
say it ain't so.
It is. It is. But, you know, most of the time we do buy the new ones. I love the idea of them having new designs, which they haven't had in 5 or 6 years. So it's always cool to see something new, which I think the RFID, the new ones, have better designs on them, or newer designs. So anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on something as mundane as cups, but I did think that was pretty cool how that finally came to pass since they've been talking about it for so long.
And one thing I do want to say about that is that if you do buy one, like for if it's not for the length of stay, let's say you buy a one-day one, be smart as far as when you purchase it, because it's not like a one-day as far as 24 hours. It's that day. So if you purchase your mug for one day at like 9 p.m., you really only have 3 hours to use it. So you got to be kind of smart as far as if you're going to do just a certain day one, be smart as far as when you can actually use it, because otherwise you're going to end up throwing money in the garbage.
Yeah, it's not that is something I noticed, because it's not length of stay anymore. You can buy it for how many – you can if you buy the mug, you can buy it for however many days you want it for.
Oh, okay. I was thinking maybe they're just setting it up kind of generically like they do the tickets. Once you use the ticket the first time, you've got 14 days. Unless you extend it, maybe just generically for the mugs, they're setting it up for 14 days, kind of like what you were saying with your mug.
Well, with ours, they gave it to us, so it was set up for whatever, how many days. But if you went and bought a mug, like Tom was saying, you could buy it for one day, and I don't remember what the cost is, but you
can
just
$7.
So for $7, you can just buy it that morning and use it that whole day, and then that's it. It'll stop working at the end of that day.
Okay. I'm having a hard time thinking how I would use that in just one day.
Well, I don't know. It was available for one day. I don't know how many people would buy it for that. But it was broken into more. You know, it could have been one day and then 3 days and 5 days or 7 days. Or you know, so you didn't have to buy if you didn't have to buy a cup and pay for 14 days if you were only going to be there for five.
Okay. Kind of trip, I would say, if you're going to be there only for one day, buy one of the paper cups. You can fill up 3 hours in a certain amount of time, and I bet you can get at least two of those purchased for less than $7.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So if you're going to do it one day, just buy a paper one, use it a couple times. If you want to use one later in the day, buy another paper one, because you get more than one refill with those paper cups, and all the paper cups have RFIDs in them as well.
I'm sure that'll start another fight on Disboards, one refill or not. but it's great to hear other people's opinions, because you want to see if something's been done, or a lot of times you'll have people come back and tell you the cast member said that it was okay to do that, which, you know, I'll go to the bank with that.
Sure. I still think they need to integrate using them at the park. I think if that they'd explode if they would integrate usability at the park.
Oh, it'd be out of control. The problem with that, they'd have to create special like refilling stations just for the drinks.
All over.
Yeah, just for those types of mugs.
The other thing, just real quick, and I know we don't want to stay on mugs all day, all night, but how much money was spent in putting RFID chips in every mug and setting those kiosks up to accept it? Did they really? I mean, do you think the people coming back with old mugs drank that much soda that they had to develop this whole technology to stop it?
Must have, or the technology was so inexpensive that it didn't matter and it was worth it.
Yeah, maybe so.
I got to think a lot of people do bring them back, but to be honest with you, soda is the cheapest thing on the menu at a restaurant. It costs pennies
Oh, it's like 7 cents a serving or something like that.
Right. So I can't imagine where they'd be losing a lot of money worth to create the system unless it was easy enough to do. And the cups themselves, I would imagine being easy because whoever's selling them to Disney, that would be their big selling point. It's like, well, I had the chip for free, or, you know, make it a deal. As far as the machinery in the drink areas, I don't know. I got to imagine that'd be relatively cost effective just because they're going to be selling a crud load of them. Every resort's going to have at least one or more based on if it's a value resort with a bigger food area. So, yeah, interesting things. And it's all about the mugs. So let's move on to some other things that are basically sticking out in our minds for 2013. What do you guys have?
One thing that I was kind of neat is the opening of Princess Fairytale Hall in New Fantasyland, where they actually have Rapunzel, Snow White, Cinderella and Aurora are now housed for meet and greets, and they have it split into twos where half of it's Cinderella and Aurora and half of it's Snow White and Rapunzel. The Imagineering of that building is absolutely gorgeous. The detail that if you look close enough, there's so many little tidbits of all these stories kind of intertwined into one. It's really a neat little building.
Where exactly is the entrance?
It's where the Snow White ride used to be.
Okay.
So that's because now they're building the Mine Train that's open up this year. So that it's where the Snow White ride used to be.
Right. Now, I didn't even notice that when we were there. And is it kind of set up with the same entrance way that Snow White had, like that same part of the attraction or the building?
To be honest, to me, the entrance looks the design of the actual signage looks a lot like PhilharMagic. I kept getting, when I wasn't paying attention to what was actually on the sign, I got the two mixed up constantly, because the fonts and everything and the signs are very similar to each other. So
that's interesting.
Well, the mirror image of each other on either side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting that they would use the same color palette or design that, you know.
Well, I'm sure it's not completely identical, but when you're not really completely paying attention, in the corner of your eye, they look very similar.
Right.
Right. You think they would contrast each other. You think they would try and make that stick out a little bit.
I don't know.
It's really the inside, you know, I just thought it was really neat that it's, you know, it's a Fast Plus option, and if you want to use it for that. If you want to see Rapunzel, you got to do Fast Pass. The line is funny. Everyone thinks of Magic Kingdom, they think Cinderella. Cinderella is like the iconic princess of Magic Kingdom. It's completely not true when it comes to that place, because the Rapunzel line is always at least 3 times longer than Cinderella's line.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's really weird. Rapunzel's line takes forever, but you can quite frequently, for a short line, meet Cinderella.
That's interesting.
While we're on the topic of princesses, just because we saw Frozen over the break, and I figure, Tom, you'd have a good idea what this is going to happen. How are they going to bring in the girls from Frozen? I mean, we have a princess, we have a queen. Are they going to induct the princess, and then we're going to have a good queen versus all the evil queens they have laying around?
That's what I've heard. My wife, Christina, mentioned something about that. They are going to induct Anna as official Disney princess, and they're doing something special with Elsa as a queenhood as well. That's what I've heard. I haven't read the tidbit myself, but that's what Christina has mentioned.
I think they're already doing meet and greets in Norway.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard that they're going to change Maelstrom into a Frozen ride.
I heard that rumor too. And you know what?
God, I hope not.
Until it happens, it's a rumor. I did see the setup they had in Disneyland for the meet and greet. And it's a nice little like house they have with Olaf on the roof of it on the outside. And he's talking to the people as they're walking by. So that's a cool little setup.
That is cool. As much as I thought the movie was really good, I'd hate to see him change Maelstrom into a Frozen ride.
Right, although there's a lot of arguments saying that would be the perfect place, being Norway. And if you think of the ride itself, I could think of a lot of different parts of the movie that would fit to different parts of the ride as you're going through it.
Yeah.
Even to the point where you're at the movie at the end. I'm sure they could throw something together for a couple minutes talking about Norway or the Great White North of Europe or something like that. You always like to kind of think about what they can do differently, and I agree. I'd hate to see Maelstrom go. I think that would be a loss because that's become another one of those traditional rides.
Yeah.
But saying that, You know, it's all about bringing something new that's going to be, you know, that'll work in that area. I think Frozen needs a couple years to prove its worth as far as if it's going to stick around. Some of the argument about the ride was that Disney took so long to create Little Mermaid attractions after that movie came out that they finally jumped on board and then they made a bunch. Yeah, I still think it needs a couple years.
Yeah, I think I would agree. Because a lot of those movies, when they come out, you think they're great, but a lot of them just kind of fall by the wayside, and they don't have the staying power.
Sure. And others, they do. And is it just because they brought the attraction? Like, you asked that about Stitch. Did Stitch stick around for a little extra longer because they brought the ride into the park? And I haven't heard anything from Stitch or that franchise in a while. So you never know what's going to stay, what's going to last and what's not going to last.
And that's the danger you run with making rides strictly based upon one of their movies. Mm-hmm. You're going to make sure it's one of your franchise movies, otherwise it's going to bomb.
Yeah, and then I think Stitch has some staying power. I don't know as far, you know, I think Stitch as the character probably has more staying power than the movie Lilo and Stitch.
I agree with that.
You see him. You still see him in the park. You never see Lilo in the parks. You see Stitch. You see Stitch merchandise. You don't. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but that misses the whole message of that movie, which is what stood out to me was the whole Ohana, the whole family. And I tell you what, I think Lilo is at the character breakfast at Ohana.
She
shows up once in a while, but you're right, it's not often. I've seen her at Animal Kingdom before too.
Really?
But yeah, it's not that often. And Stitch is much funnier, much, you know, the guys want to hang out with him and stuff like that. But
isn't she in Fantasmic too, on that ship on Fantasmic?
I don't know. Could be. It's been a few years since I've seen Fantasmic. She could be. She could very well be on that ferry boat with all the other characters on there. That wouldn't surprise me. So one of the things that really strikes me is, you know, for the first time since Disney World was there, since Disney World was built, it is turnstile free with the Magic Bands. I think overall it's been the Magic Bands have been a really, really good thing. I don't know if altogether the whole My Disney experience platform has been 100% success, that, you know, some of the things, like some components of it, like the Fast Pass Plus and stuff like that, I think some people have some gripes about. But as far as just the Magic Bands, you know, and their functionality of getting you in your room, getting you in the park, using them for your dining credits at the restaurants, you know, making purchases, stuff like that, I think it's been a big add and a big deal.
I agree. Now, Tom, is the most recent user of, I guess, most of the functionality of all this, the new Magic Bands and stuff like that. What do you think? Give me a rating between 1 and 10, 10 being as best as it can be, 1 being pretty lame, where they are and what they might need to do.
And is this on the whole thing, or is this just on the Magic Bands itself?
I'd say on the whole experience, the using the site and the Magic Bands and whatever else basically you used them for.
Well, it depends what aspect you're talking about. As far as, like, the entrance to the park, I thought that was great. I never had any issues with it. So that part I had no problems with. Fastpass Plus is going to take some getting used to, as I said, with trying to plan rides in accordance to other stuff, so you're not going back and forth to the park all day. I'd say because it was so new, if I had to give it a rating, 6 or 7 maybe, just because they gotta fix some of the blips on the My Disney Experience app and site. There's so many times where I wanted to change something or look at something and it said the whole, there was a blip in our network, please try again later. It happened way too many times for my liking. I think the concept is great. I'm assuming they will, but you know, they get all the kinks worked out. I think it's going to be a really cool system, but it's definitely some chinks in the armor that they got to nail hammer out of it.
I thought it was pretty cool that during the Christmas parade, they had a big one of the commercial breaks was basically talking about the parks and the Magic Pass, the Fast Pass Plus, the Magic Bands, and the whole new experience you're going to get when you go to the parks now.
Yeah, I think the Magic Bands, like I said, I think they're going to be a good thing. But just right now, I'm not saying everything didn't work, but that the app definitely needs help.
I've seen that. I mean, I've seen just on Facebook, just in different groups and stuff, and different people that I'm connected with that are Disney fans posting, you know, just different screenshots and stuff of the app kind of going kaput. And, you know, I don't know how much you can judge the FastPass Plus based upon the testing. Because while they were testing it, you still had everybody using regular FastPasses too. So once it goes into full implementation, you won't have people just going getting a FastPass at a kiosk anymore. Everybody's going to be on that FastPass Plus system.
Well, then they're not going to be able to do the double dipping anymore. And as I said, I was able to double dip. They're going to tell you that you can't do that, but at least back in November, you very well easily could.
Well, from what I understand, by the end of January, all the hotels will be on Magic Bands only. So you'll just get the Magic Band. You won't get the card. So well, that'll eliminate the double dipping right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least for those who didn't get their annual pass prior to that. Because, you know, even if it's not your room key, your annual pass card, or if you have a hard ticket card, those still work too. So.
Well, but if they're implementing it by the end of January, they're going to remove those FastPass kiosks altogether because there won't be any use for them, right?
What happens for the person buying a one-day pass? They come to the park that morning. Are they going to pay their money and then get a Magic Band?
I think so.
Yeah, then they can get rid of the FastPass.
I think so. I don't think they're going to have any just paper. I think they're doing away altogether with tickets.
How about no expiration passes from, 5 years ago?
Ah, sure. I bet they take those and convert them to a Magic Band. I bet you'd have to go to get, because you can't use the, you really can't use those anyway, right? Don't you have to take them to guest services and have them converted?
I don't know. I never spend the money on that.
Well, well, that's true, but I mean, you would have to anyway, because there's no place to shove your ticket in anymore. So if you don't have an RFID chip,
there you go.
You have to get it converted.
Okay, there's your answer. Cool. So, yes, they'll all be gone. And it's also very cool to see that they've come through with another technology and they've kind of almost completed it. Hopefully, it won't even be conversation in about a year. It'll be just the norm.
Yeah.
But and I also want to point out that, yes, with big software systems, there's always going to be bugs. Quote, unquote, Obamacare. Yeah. So,
couple of bugs.
And being part of major rollouts of software in the past, it's always going to be that way. It's unfortunate. You could do everything you can, and you know what? There are circumstances that'll let you come out with a clean release, but it does not happen often. The true skill is how you fix those things you find after the release.
And you know, case in point, this year, and we're talking about new things that came out this year. I don't know if either of you guys have it, but the Disney Infinity game system.
Yes,
my son's got it. Yep.
Yeah. When they first rolled that out, when it rolled out for PlayStation 3, there was parts of it that didn't work. People couldn't get online with it, and so they had to put a patch in. So as much testing as PlayStation does, and you know, whoever develops that game, they rolled it out and it did not work for PlayStation 3. When I went to the store to get it, I went to the Walmart and they had it there for Wii and Xbox, but not for PlayStation because they had bugs. It did not work properly.
Sure. So it happens with all the software. A lot of it.
Yep.
But
what's your thoughts on the Disney Infinity?
I like it.
I don't, I'm okay with it. I think I'm still trying to get it. I mean, it looks like he's just running around one area and not doing much, and there's, you know, different areas tailored. I understand it from the money side of it, that you have to keep buying all those extra discs for underneath your character, for extra, I guess, weapons or worlds and stuff like that. But it's not getting much more than Minecraft, actually, from what I've seen.
I don't get it.
I mean, I don't completely get it either, but I like the concept of it. I think it has a lot of potential. But.
Right, but there doesn't seem there's a goal. Like the other Disney games, you have to get through the different levels to eventually finish. This just seems like it's an ultimate playground that you can kind of modify and change with the different characters. And you can build things in that playground, too. Again, like the Minecraft whole thing. But, I don't say I don't get it too often. I sound like an old man and everything, but
I didn't get it.
I don't get it.
Now there are some mini games that you can get into, depending on who you're playing with. like me and my son were playing, and we, you know, you have to have, we were playing the pirate, and there was a mini game that you can get in. There's actually a goal. But the only way you can play two players with that is you each, you have to have at least two little figures from the same.
Like two pirates?
Like you'd have to have two pirate figures for both of you to play in the pirate mini world.
Gotcha.
Like Skeleton, so, like Jack and Barbossa, for example.
Right, exactly. And that's the two we have, yeah.
Yeah. We'll have to try that with we have Sully and we have Mike.
Mike Wazowski?
Yep.
Yeah, Zebra has that one too. Then he also has the Lone Ranger and Tonto and
that was a big thing. That was all over the parks when we were down there.
Yeah, I
don't get it. I really don't. I mean, I get it a little bit, but it seems like you just—it's a lot of running around, doing a lot of nothing.
Excuse me. Yep. So okay. Well, let's just let.
So
that...
hopefully, maybe you know what? Maybe one of the listeners will get it and email us, and it, you know, maybe we're missing something.
We'll have to invite the kids on.
Right.
Okay, so now another thing that kind of stuck out in 2013 was that we had an impromptu spring break trip down to Florida. And while we were there, we went to Epcot right in the middle of the Flower and Garden Show. And this year was the first year they actually opened it up to be more of a food and wine flower and garden type show. They had as many kiosks, it seemed, as they do for the food and wine setup. So it was a really, really fun experience going through that. And for one day, it was really fun and going through and tasting some of those foods. So that was kind of nice 2013. And it sounds like that's going to be more of a tradition down the road, too. The article I read also mentioned how they're going to have other mini food and wine type situations during the year at Epcot also. So it looks like they're going to be taking advantage of that. And the only thing I wonder, does it take out all the fun of the food and wine itself? Because now they'll have a lot of them. So we'll see.
Yeah, and going along with that, sticking with the food theme, they announced they also announced a new counter service location in Morocco. And you know what? They may have mentioned the name, and I just don't remember. But from what I understand, it's going to be kind of across the path where Moroccan used to play, and these do the henna tattoos. And from what I understand, it's going to be a like a small portion, kind of food and wine type of place, where you can go just try a couple of different things and not be like a whole meal.
Sounds like it'll be fun.
Is that the Tangerine Cafe? Is that the name of it?
Tangerine Cafe is the counter service. This is the counter service there. This is going to be across the way. There's like artist renderings and stuff of it already. So this is a whole thing they're building.
I think we're thinking it's where Mo Rockin' plays across there on the lake.
I'm thinking that's where it's supposed to be. It's on the lakeside.
When I was down in July, they had the divider set up for a construction inside there. So maybe.
Yeah, in October, it was still all closed off right there. They had that little store right there that used to sell like the fez hats and the jewelry and the belly dance outfits and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All that was blocked off when the last time we were there.
I think there's some really great movies coming out this year. I mean, from the Oz the Great and Powerful to, you know, this the winter blockbuster Frozen, Saving Mr. Banks. I don't think was there any Marvel movies this year? I don't think there was, but
Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3, yeah.
And Thor, yeah. Uh-huh. So yeah, there's a plethora of wonderful Disney movies this year. I got a chance to see, well, I didn't get to see the, unfortunately I haven't seen any of the Marvel ones, but I did get a chance to see the Oz Great and Powerful, Frozen, and the Saving Mr. Banks. And I'd say entertaining wise, it's some of the best Disney movie entertainment I've had in, you know, recently, especially with the live action of Mr. Banks and Oz. I thought there were some great live action movies that came out this year.
Right.
Did you see The Lone Ranger?
I didn't see Lone Ranger. It's one I have to see. It's one that's why I didn't get the chance to see.
I just bought it on Blu-ray.
Nice. I thought it was really good.
I enjoyed it.
Yep. I got to see it on the cruise ship actually for the first time, which was really, really
fun. Did
you
really?
Yep.
That's cool.
Nothing like a free movie in an awesome theater.
Not to mention that's a memory, you know.
Definitely.
You know, you can go to, and we've talked about this on previous episodes, that they do movies poolside at the resorts when you're at the, you know, when you're in Disney. But I mean, you go out there and you're watching Lion King or Finding Nemo, or whatever. But you'll always remember, hey, you know what? The first time I saw the Lone Ranger was on this. So that's a memory that you'll have, you know, forever.
Oh, no doubt. 2011 was the first year we went on the cruise, and we were actually on the ship the night that Cars 2 opened up. So we were the first theater that showed Cars 2 that Thursday night, which was very cool. They had a nice little show beforehand. A bunch of the crew members were dressed up in car outfits, and they were handing out Cars 2 packages of souvenirs and things like that. It was a fun show. It was a midnight show on the cruise ship. Great time.
That is very cool. Yep. I've never been on the cruise. I'm going to have to, as a travel agent, I guess I need to do that.
That's homework.
It is. It's a research trip.
One of the really cool things on the boat, too, is that they have a big screen on one of the funnels so that when you're at the pool, they'll show movies on that, too. During the daytime, it's not that great. And they'll usually just do music or they'll do short things. But at night, they'll play full movies, and it's great because you'll just sit back on the lounge chairs or in the pool and, you know, watch the movie. And they're kind of appropriate for the ships, pirate movies or different things like that. A lot of recent movies.
That's cool.
And we'll have a show about this down the road, I'm sure, about the cruise. One of the other things that really sticks out on the Disney Cruise Line is that when you go out to sea, you don't get TV anymore, like a hotel. What you do is you get their closed circuit channels, and they have one channel where you can watch any Disney movie that was ever made, except for Song of the South. But any other movie, you can literally go through their menu and just like pick it. And you know what? We're getting ready for the restaurant, waiting for the showers. Watch 20 minutes of like Herbie the Love Bug or something like that. I thought that was just like a cool, cool touch.
So any movie?
Any movie.
Other than Song of the South?
Yeah.
So it's just like Disney pay-per-view max.
Correct.
That's incredible.
For just being in the cabin, which was awesome. Right. And that was really cool because every time we're getting ready or we're getting ready for bed or ready to go out, there was always something Disney playing. And they had a whole other channel with just the animation, cartoons, a bunch of shorts that were just running over and over. It was really, really cool.
That is so cool.
Which, and to tie into 2013, we went on our second cruise this year, this past July. So that really stuck out as one of the major things of 2013 was the Disney Cruise Line. We went on the 4-night cruise, which was, we went 5 nights the first time in 2011. And the difference was we spent one less day at Castaway Cay. We only had 1 day there as opposed to 2 the first cruise.
You went on the same ship twice?
Yes. We went on the Dream.
Wonder.
We were on the Dream. And
The Dream is the new one, right?
Yes. And
I think they just remodeled the Magic.
Yeah, the remodel, I heard, didn't go as well as it could have as far as the individual cabins, as far as furniture and stuff. But they put a new water slide on deck, and they did a lot of like things like that. I haven't seen too many of the details. However, our plan in the future is to go in 2015, and it sounds like the Magic might be one of the ships we're thinking about because we want to go a little bit longer this time.
Well, they're expanded. You know, New Orleans has we have a pretty decent cruise port. We're up there. You know, we have two Carnival ships that dock here year round, and we have a Norwegian ship and a Royal Caribbean ship that come here seasonally. And they're expanding the port, and they're courting Disney. They're trying to get Disney to put a ship here, which would be great because they just Disney had a ship in Galveston, which isn't too far from here.
Well, that's the thing. They keep picking these ports, and they just don't stay long. They were up in New York for a couple months also, and that I'm not sure if that happens anymore either.
I wonder. I mean, New York seemed like that would be a good port. Galveston, I never did. I guess because it's a central location. But I mean, New Orleans is a central location and a tourist destination.
Right. No, I think New Orleans would be great because you get the entire middle part of the country, and it's mostly a warm port. New York, you've only got warm weather 3 or 4 months. So you really can't rely on that.
I didn't think about that. That's a good point.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, New Orleans, you could do a, you know, if you wanted to do a 4-day Disney cruise, you could go, you could do a 4-day Disney cruise and spend 3 days in New Orleans and have a, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's a tourist destination on its own, where Galveston, there's, I mean, there's Galveston Beach.
Right.
Which is
right.
Like a spring break, you know, it's more of a spring break type of place. But.
Mm-hmm.
So tying into the movies, you know, Tom had mentioned Saving Mr. Banks, which I saw as well and thought it was a fantastic movie. Nothing that I expected. It was quite different than I expected. But that's the first time that Walt Disney was portrayed in a movie.
Which is so strange if you think about it, since he was such an icon. That
really is.
Hopefully this breaks the dam and we see a couple more movies. I'd love to see a life story or a biography of the first part of his life, perhaps, until the 40s. Yeah, it'd be interesting. And you kind of keyed on another part of the movie that stood out, him talking about his childhood. I've read or heard about the account of his childhood many times, and Tom Hanks did a great job portraying Walt Disney. I don't think I saw Walt Disney other than maybe a couple seconds in this portrayal. It was still always Tom Hanks doing a character, but for a couple seconds, and I think that one part where he was talking about the early days delivering the papers for his dad stood out. Or the little peek at Elias Disney, the window in Disneyland, when they were walking down the main street in the park was pretty cool too, and it kind of tied into that.
You know, I've read Walt Disney's biography, one of them. I read the one, but I think it was by the one that Bob Thomas did. And I don't remember. This was a few years ago I read it, but God, the movie made that part seem so much darker than I remember it in the biography.
Oh no, it was not a fun time. It was definitely work. He worked for a kid, which I'm sure kind of steered his thinking down the road.
Yeah, I bet it did.
Before we get off movies, one of the other movies that came out this year that I just want to mention real quick was the Monsters University movie.
Good one.
It was cool.
How did I forget that?
Well, it seemed like it was so long ago now. It was a cool movie in that it was a Pixar sequel, which they don't do too many of those, so that's really nice to see it. And what I really liked was that when we went down the parks in July, they already tied that into the Monsters Incorporated laugh floor. We're seeing things in the pre-show that were based on Monsters University, and the whole theme of the attraction kind of had that Monsters U in it now too. So I thought that was very, very cool. They were able to do that so quickly.
That's a great thing. That just what you were saying, that that's a really easy tie-in because they had all the Monsters Inc. characters already there. So like Mike and Sully didn't look any different. So they can just rebrand that Monsters U and make it relevant.
Sure. I'm trying to think if the comedians had Monsters U stuff on or not when they're on the stage. The extra guys like Mac and Cheese or whoever was on stage with them. I can't remember.
Not that I remember. I don't remember them having it. I don't remember when I was in the actual show, at least on November. They didn't mention anything in the actual comedy about Monsters U there. The only thing they didn't do is they didn't tell the story of Boo and everything like that like they used to for Monsters, Inc. The pre-show had a lot of Monsters U, but the actual show itself didn't really have any references to Monsters University, other than when Mike's little nephew, where his name is, came out. I think he was in the Monsters U gateway scene. But that's the only thing I remember about Monsters U actually being part of the show, was when his little nephew was out telling the crowd's jokes.
Ed, when you were there, did they have the big Monsters U topiary out in front of Hollywood Studios?
No, they had it actually, and I wonder if it was the same one, but we were there, don't forget, for spring break during the Flower and Garden Show. So they had the big topiary for Monsters U right as you enter World Showcase at Epcot. That was the big thing right in the center there that had Mike and Sully and the big arch from the university and a big piles of books and things like that.
I think that's the same one. They moved. It's out in front. When we were there, it was out in front of kind of in front of Hollywood Studios, right where the path kind of splits to go to the boat there to go to Epcot.
Yeah, that was there when I was there, too.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it was such a great thing that it makes a lot of sense that they were able to move that. And I'm kind of happy they did. That's cool. And we should probably someday talk about like each of these individual things, and we probably will definitely about Epcot and their food and wine and their flower and garden. But the topiaries at the Flower and Garden, and I'll try to think about hopefully posting it soon, but I have a video of a slideshow I put up on my YouTube page that shows a lot of the good topiaries around the park. One of the coolest ones I remember was in England, across from the restaurant, the main restaurant, the...
Rose and Crown.
Exactly. That building there, you had Peter Pan up on top of it. Topiary of him above the chimney, looking like he was flying a little bit, just standing there. And,
never seen that.
And I think Wendy was up there, too. But they had a lot of topiaries all over the place, and they were so appropriate to the parks itself, you know, to the themes of the different lands and such like that, and the characters. It's awesome how they do that.
We were there 2 years. In April, it'll be 2 years for Flower and Garden. And it really is beautiful. I mean, I got a lot of pictures of the topiaries. They really are fantastic. But I don't remember seeing that one above the Rose and Crown. That's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. One of the nicest things about the Flower and Garden is another excuse to get inside the old pavilion where they used to have the Body Wars ride and a lot of those other rides inside there. So always whenever they have these like extra events at Epcot, it's nice to get back inside that building, kind of see what they've done to it and what they're doing.
Yeah, we went in there for food and wine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how utilized is the building during Flower and Garden. I mean, for food and wine, it's jam packed with.
It's the same exact stuff. Thing. I was in there for both, and they're almost set up identical because they have all those different seminars that go inside there. Yeah. So both of them were set up with different areas where they have all the chairs and tables. And they also had a lot of things for sale, and they also had a couple areas just as exhibits. They had one of the gentlemen who worked with Walt decorating both Disneyland and Walt Disney World, and I'm going to hate myself for not coming up with his name right now, but they had a very, very big exhibit on him, which was cool. A lot of pictures and notes and things like that. But it was funny because, yeah, I remember being there for food and wine, and all those tables were set up with the ingredients to make something, like food-wise, cookies or whatever. And the ingredients for Flower and Garden was like the flower pot, some dirt, seeds, a little trowel for them to work with in the seminars and stuff like that.
Well, I've never had a chance to see the Flower and Garden stuff other than just pictures. It's a time of year I don't know if I'm ever really getting a chance to go out there, so it's not something that really fits their schedule. So I feel kind of bad. I'll probably never get a chance to see that.
Well, that's like right in the middle of spring and summer, so that's the time you really enjoy being home.
Very true. And it was a spur-of-the-moment trip for us. We went to Palm Beach. We weren't even thinking about Walt Disney World. But what was the final nail was – annual passes. They were changing them, putting to the cards with the chip in it, so it was worth it for us to come up for at least the day. So it was nice. But, yeah, normally spring break is at a time we would think about going to Walt Disney World. That's another one of those crowded times to stay away.
We'll be there this year. We'll be getting there the Friday or Saturday before Easter.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I haven't really looked at the schedule close this year to see how bad it's going to be, but that probably sounds bad right there.
I looked at the the crowd calendar on touring plans.
Okay.
And it's fours and fives.
Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah. So it didn't look too bad. Maybe fives and sixes. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit. But I'm actually – this would be the first time I buy an annual pass. I'm going to go ahead and buy an annual pass.
Congratulations.
I've never bought one. I think I'm doing it just so I can get the little annual pass sticker to put on the back of my truck.
I have one. It's a magnet.
It's a magnet. Okay. I've seen them around town.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The last time I went with my annual pass, it just actually expired this last August, and I had I went to double check it. They can actually tell you how many times you used it, how many days you used it, and between 2012 and 2013, I don't know how I managed it, but I had 29 days.
Oh my God!
So tell me about
well it. It was well worth it.
So totally paid off, and I hope that sometime again I can get one.
So I'm hoping to get 3 trips on this one. So my plan is I'm going to activate it when we go down for April this trip. Then me and my wife are going to go back for food and wine. And then next year, my plan is to go back in April and go the week before the week I go this.
Perfect.
So that's the plan.
Probably when we do our cruise again, we'll get the annual pass or at least investigate going into it. But you have to have a number of trips to be able to use it properly to make it worth the while. It is a couple bucks.
It's I think with tax it's $650, $648 or something like that.
Remember,
I figured if I can get the two trips, if I can get this trip and the in this late September October trip, it'll still be worth it, but it won't be that great of a deal.
Right.
If I can get that third trip in.
Don't forget all the discounts you get with that too. You get room discounts, you get a lot of merch discounts. It's nice thing to have.
Yeah, that's the other thing is how, you know, annual pass discount on the room when we go for food and wine. That's gonna save us a few bucks. Even if they have a room discount available, generally like on the value resorts, when Disney does a room discount, it's 15% or 20%, and I think the annual pass discount is 25%.
Cool. One of the things that stood out for annual pass in our figuring, at least my calculations, was that we don't stay on property every trip. So to park at a Disney park is $15 now, $14 now.
17, I think.
Holy crap. So that to me means if I'm going for 5 days, that's 5 times 17 if I'm not staying at the park, you know, at a resort on property. So that to me subtracts from the price of an annual pass. Then it makes it that much cheaper.
Very good point.
I always like to try to play those odds. The first annual pass I ever got was the year that they had, when you worked for a charity and you put in hours, Disney gave you the free ticket for the day. And I did that. I got my free ticket. And then when I came down to the park, I used that free ticket toward the annual pass. So I had my first $85 or $89 paid for the annual pass that year.
That's a great deal.
And it's a matter of, and then on top of that $80, then we have the 5 days of staying outside the parks and parking in their lots. So that's another $50-$60 on that. So now I'm already at about $150. So you kind of even it out and you try to make it justifiable.
Sure.
So any little bit helps.
Yep.
Okay. So now in 2013, something that Disney does every year is they induct new Disney legends. For those who don't realize or don't know, Disney legends are people that have worked for the Disney company in whatever capacity that have done such a great job for so long that they are officially recognized. A lot of times, and I'm not sure if it happens all the time now because they're running out of windows, I'm sure, but a lot of the people on the windows on Main Street in either Disneyland or Walt Disney World were Disney legends. And that's basically how they get up on those windows. This year, they had their inductees nominated and approved, and I just want to read through some of the names real quick. And most of the names you're going to recognize right away. Some of them I had to look up just to make sure who they were. Tony Baxter, of course, is an Imagineer responsible for a lot of the later years of rides in a lot of the Disney parks around the world. Colin Campbell was also an Imagineer that had a big influence in the early and mid days of the parks. Dick Clark. Everybody remembers Dick Clark in the American Bandstand. Maybe a little bit more so in the Philadelphia area where I'm in right now, and for his Rockin' New Year's Eve. Billy Crystal and John Goodman both were inducted as legends this year. I'm sure, obviously, for the Monsters Incorporated movies. I'm not sure if they've done. Actually, John Goodman did the movie with the llama. Was that Disney? Yeah, that's Disney in South America. No, it's David Spade. Was the
Emperor's New Groove.
Right. Yeah, I'm sorry. You were right, Tom. I misunderstood. So that was pretty cool. And Steve Jobs got inducted this year also. Glenn Key, a really good Disney artist. And Ed Wynn, who was a really big voice in the Winnie the Pooh series and in Mary Poppins. Played a great character. And I'm sure he's done more things than that for the Disney company. So those are the Disney legends. Hopefully to see them in the windows coming up soon or at some of the parks in some capacity.
Do you have pictures of the windows?
I do, actually. I have a slideshow of that also somewhere hanging around.
And for some reason, I knew you would.
One of my geek trips when I went down to Disney World by myself. I've done that 3 times so far. And that's such a hard thing to say. In a way, I'm kind of happy I did it. In a way, it's kind of like a sad, like, how do you go to Disney World by yourself thing? But we'll cross that bridge down the road when we talk about that on a show. But I was able to spend an hour or two basically just looking and checking out all the windows down Main Street. It was a really, really interesting time. And it gave me a lot of things to do afterwards as far as just kind of looking up people and finding out who was who and what they did for the parks and for Walt. Always a fun thing. Those windows are pretty incredible.
Yeah, they are.
Well, we can't talk about the 2013 without not talking about the passing of Diane Disney, unfortunately, either.
True. Very true. Such a sad thing to hear about this year.
Tom, you're such a Debbie Downer.
I understand. But it is one of the biggest Disney topics of the year.
It's terrible. Who's going to replace her?
I mean, she's really the one that...
You know, before her, it was, you know...
Roy Jr.
It was Roy O. Disney. You know, kind of carried that Disney torch and made sure that, you know, they were doing things in the way Walt would have wanted them done. And then she kind of took it from there. I don't know if there's anybody else.
I don't know how old her children or what they did with their lives or her grandchildren. I never really followed through with that, but maybe there's somebody there.
And I don't know how much impact she really had on the parks, but I mean, she had a huge impact on the Disney Family Museum and did a lot of stuff in the, you know, did a lot of books and stuff and really made sure that, you know, Walt Disney, the person, his legacy, you know, kind of survived and people understood who he was, because a lot of people that go to the parks today have no real idea. You know, they don't think of Walt Disney as a person. They just think the Walt Disney Company.
I mean, I know there's an Abigail Disney that's in the family, but I don't know how involved she is or anything like that. I think it's one of the granddaughters or something like that. Christina's talks with her once in a while on Facebook. I know she's part of the Disney family, but I don't know how involved she is with things.
Well, maybe with the internet and social networking and the way that everybody can communicate with each other instantaneously, maybe there's a lot of us out there that are going to help keep the Disney legacy there and keep it true and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's going to help. Absolutely.
It can't hurt.
It's very true. It's kind of hard to follow up after hearing something or talking about Diane Disney, especially something this mundane. However, one of the other things that changed in 2013 were the offerings at Club Cool at Epcot. That kind of stood out for me because that was something that kind of was static for 10 years, at least. For a little while, at least since they changed it from the, what was it before? The Arctic caveman in there, or whatever they called it beforehand.
Cooling station or something like that?
That's exactly what it was, the cooling station. I still remember going in there and just kind of doing the double take when I saw the caveman frozen in the ice holding onto a Coke way back when.
I liked that myself.
Oh, it was a cool exhibit. I didn't get it the first time going in there, but yeah, totally was cool afterwards. And they always had the same flavor sodas, so it's really nice to see that they changed them around. We talked about them a couple of shows ago. Tom, I think you were able to experience them. What did you think?
I liked them. As long as they kept Beverly for my guilty pleasure of people drinking that for the first time, it's all good.
You stand over by the machine, pretend like you're drinking it and enjoying it?
I could. It sounds really dorky, but I could watch people trying that all day long.
Yes.
I can't laugh. I can't laugh enough of it.
I could see Tom there standing by the machine. Yes, Christina, this Beverly is delicious.
Well, she knows well too. She knew it before I did, so I can't trick her when it comes to that. But the new flavors, a lot of fruitier flavors. There's like a pineapple Fanta, which I thought was really good. I mean, everyone likes Fanta. And the pineapple flavor, you know, it's really interesting. A lot of fruitiness to the new ones. So
we were there in October. I thought like they were closing the place down because I guess they were in the process of transitioning to the new flavors. Because I even posted on Facebook about it. I'm like, all the flavors were like out, and they had like little stickers that this machine, you know, this one wasn't available. But I guess that's what it was. They were transitioning to the new. The new stuff.
Yeah, I love the cooling station. It's a way to get free beverages whenever
you're. Oh, it's great.
Especially in the hot weather, you know.
But you wouldn't think they had. You wouldn't think they would have to transition like that. You would think one night they could close, and the next night they could have all new flavors with new stickers on the machine.
The only thing I could think of is they wanted to run out of the ones that they had. That's the only thing I could think of.
I guess.
We did a segment on our other show with the kids about the new flavors at the station there. And one of the ones that came up or was listed on the Disney site was just called Fanta by itself. Was there like something just called Fanta, or was that just the brand name of all the new different fruit flavors? Fanta, the, you know, the soda company underneath, I guess, Coke.
I'm not sure. I've never seen. I mean, I just heard. I think of. I'd always thought of Fanta as like a Shasta, where it's like the base name, then with all the subcategories under like different flavors of that one.
I also thought the same thing until they went into Club Cool. And then I'm like, well, they must be a subdivision of Coca-Cola. Or did they still have Coke products on sale in there?
Oh, yeah. They still have the...
Yeah, so yeah, Fanta's got
to
be.
Big banks. They have to be. Yeah. I can't imagine not being.
Maybe that's their. Maybe it's just a worldwide brand that's a little bigger outside the country. One of the weird flavors they had on there, I was talking to one of our friends that helps us with the show, and the flavor was... I'm trying to think what George told me it was, but it was one of the weirder flavors they said they had in England for a couple years, and then it finally just disappeared. But it's kind of cool to see how they experiment around the world with that stuff. Whatever might work in the country or might not work. Real quick point about Club Cool. If you go in the doorway that's facing World Showcase or you exit through that doorway, you can either go straight outside or you can go to the right, which is an indoor hallway that kind of goes down the length of the building. And it lets you out in the garden almost over to where Captain EO is. You can actually go that far. Well, the point I'm even bringing up is that in that long hallway, it's a character meet and greet. The last time we were through there, we were surprised to find Baloo one time. And the last time we went through there, I think it was... I can't remember exactly who it was this last time. I'll have to go through the pictures. But it kind of surprised us that there were just characters hanging out inside there where really nobody knows it unless they go through there. And it's not really kind of a common area to go through. So
I'm going to – so when you take a right there and go in there, in that little hallway,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of the almost like the exit to the character meet and greet that they
– right.
It's like next to the – right. So
and the restrooms are over there too.
So that's a great restroom, first of all, because it's not used a lot, so it's always clean, and, I mean, there's never anybody in there, so that's always a nice pit stop. It's also just a nice place to go sit, because it's really quiet right there.
Sure, fully AC, fully yep. AC. And you're right, it is nice, because you have the big windows that are facing World Showcase, so you can see everything going on outside, and you can just kind of hang out in there. A good rain break.
There's sometimes a bench... just a purple bench along the windows right there, and I've been known to lay on that bench.
Oh, it just triggered another thought. What they also have in this little hallway there, which is really strange to have this kind of hidden, is the history of Epcot. They have a breakdown of event by event from the development to the building and things like that as they added rides as they went along for different changes.
Are you talking on the wall right there?
Yes.
So there, but the... So a few years ago, across from the windows on the right-hand side, there's some doors. There was a big exhibit in there with all kind of stuff. That had to be for maybe Epcot's 25th?
Maybe. I don't remember that.
So there was that's why those pictures were there. Those pictures weren't always there, but when they did that exhibit in that room,
okay,
those pictures went out.
Okay. So it's kind of cool for, you know, that. I took a bunch of pictures of them when I saw it.
Do you have a slideshow for that?
No, I don't. I will, though. No, I'm only kidding. No, I take pictures of everything.
I know you do. I love it. That's fantastic. Two
rules down there, though, is you take a picture. Whenever you see it, you take a picture, and it's for the same reason. And if you see something in a store you want, buy it right then and there. I can't tell you how many times I've lost out on the situations or either a picture or something I wanted because I saw it in that store, and you know what? I didn't see it in any other store the rest of my trip, and I didn't get back to that one park, and so, you know, I was out of luck. No matter how much they say you could find it at Downtown Disney or at one of the big stores at Epcot, there's always the chance you might not. So if you see it and you like it enough, buy it right then and there.
I inevitably always end up carrying the camera on our trip because my wife's more of the photographer than I am, but you know, she's better at it. But we'll go a few days on our trip. We'll go the first day, and I'm like, "How many pictures have you taken?" She's like, "Four." I'm like, "Are you kidding me? You took four pictures all day?" So I end up having to take the camera and take big. Or we'll each carry a camera, because I'm like, we paid a lot of money to come here. I want pictures.
One of the big things we have to do is make sure that I get in some of the pictures, because I take them all, so I'm usually not in them unless the character, the cast member's taking them.
Yeah.
So.
Not this past October, but the one before that, for Food Month when we went, it was just me and my wife, and then some friends of ours, Ian and Michelle, and we actually went through that character spot right there in Epcot, the one we were just talking about. And we went and took pictures with all the characters, just the four, you know, four adults.
Oh, sure. No, I mean, when you talk about that to people who don't kind of get it, that sounds so odd, you having pictures taken with characters. I mean, most of the time I don't get it either, because you know they're a character. You know there's a person inside there. Sorry, kids. And you kind of can't take it serious enough. But you know what? There's other times when it's the right character at the right time and you're all in. You know, let's take some pictures. Let's have a good time. So, I love it when it happens.
That's me every time I see Donald Duck.
Right, exactly. Now, it was one of the things for a couple times we went when we purposely wanted to see Donald Duck so we can ask him about Mickey Mouse and see him get all mad and, like, you know, pissy about it. Because we know it was going to do something. It was going to press his buttons. So, it was fun looking for him. I loved seeing a couple of the accounts of Woody in the parks, that people would say, if you say Andy's coming, Woody would fall down and stuff like that. Cool. He's being very true to the character, and a lot of times that's pretty fun.
Yeah, I agree. You get some strange looks, though, when you're standing in line to take pictures with Mickey. And you're a grown man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I understand. That's why my daughter's usually with me for those.
Right.
The cover.
Right. She's like, "Come on, Dad. I don't want a picture with Mickey. Shut up, stand in line." Yeah, seriously.
Well, it's the same when me and Christina went to the, you know, without Xavier, went to get pictures with the princesses. I felt like completely, like, almost, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, but it felt kind of weird, grown adult trying to take pictures with teenage girls dressed as princesses.
All right, and they know that you know that they're not, and you kind of have to play the game and believe, and it gets too much sometimes. I won't, if I'm by myself, I won't do any of that usually, or I won't go to a character breakfast or meal, just because it's a little awkward, I still think. I'm not that far gone that I can really enjoy that. But with the kids, though, hey, I have a blast. The last thing we're probably going to talk about tonight that was introduced in 2013 and will probably be around another year at least, if not more, is the Pirates Adventure that they have over at Adventureland in the Magic Kingdom. I think we talked about this a little earlier on an earlier show. Basically, it's a new type of adventure game, similar to the game they have over at Epcot, where it used to be Kim Possible, and now it's Perry the Platypus. And this game, basically, you walk around Adventureland playing a number of different scenarios and following different maps to find clues, and then finally find the treasures of a couple of famous pirates. We did all of them when we were down there in July, and it was a really, really fun afternoon. There's a lot of good exhibits they have set up and a lot of good things that animate and do stuff that I think you should definitely give this a try. If nothing else, it's a really cool souvenir. Basically, at the edge of Adventureland, where it meets Frontierland, there's a little hut that you go inside there. You pick out your treasure map, and then you start following the clues to it. It's very cool in that it uses the RFID technology. Somebody in your group basically scans their bracelet, or at our time we went, we scanned our card, and that way it remembers what you've done, so it doesn't assign you a different map that you've already done, or it doesn't assign you the same thing you've done. So it kind of keeps tracks of all the different maps you've done, how you finished, and very, very fun. It went all the way down to as far as Swiss Family Robinson's house, all the way to where Adventureland touches Frontierland, and in between. Very, very fun activity, and the kids even had fun too.
Did you do the one in Epcot?
Yes, we finished.
Now, I've done it as, I did it as Kim Possible. I've never done it since they changed it over to Perry to Platypus.
Yes, we've done them both. And actually, to their credit, when they switched it over to Perry, some of the clues were similar, but they changed almost everything around, so it wasn't just doing kind of like Kim Possible again.
Perry to Platypus is so much more relevant. I mean,
oh, sure. And they had to change it up, and I give them a lot of credit for even changing it up.
Kids today wouldn't know who Kim Possible, right? I mean, I don't even know if that show still comes on.
It's not on at all. And you're right. They probably wouldn't know Kim Possible. My kids know her because...
Yeah, my kids are... Yeah, my kids know her too, but...
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about, you know, a seven-year-old today probably wouldn't know her.
I'd even go as far as 10 or under. They wouldn't know who Kim Possible was. But yeah, they did a pretty good transition. And they have a lot of cool Perry things over there for the Epcot one.
Try that. We didn't do it when we went, and I did the Kim Possible one with my kids a few years ago, and it's fun,
right?
Just all the interactive stuff, all the stuff that happens.
Oh, sure. If you do Perry, one of the best countries was France. I'm not gonna say why.
Okay.
But I'm
learning
it.
I forgot.
We did ours in China, I think.
Huh?
I think
we did ours in China or Japan, one of the Asian countries.
China was pretty good. There was a lot of bubbling going on there.
One of those Asian countries.
Yep. Actually, I give Kim Possible the credit for showing me that you can go inside the Stav Church in Norway. I had no idea you can ever go in that little building.
I didn't know you could either.
We were doing the Kim Possible game, and that was one of the clues directing us to go inside there and find the hint. And psych. So I
remember you saying that on one of the previous episodes that you can go in there. I definitely will go in there the next time I'm there.
Oh, it's like a mini museum inside there. Very, very cool. And consider you've been going to the parks for how long to see something brand new like that that's been there? That's awesome. That's great.
You know, I think we forgot one of the major things that happened in 2013.
Okay. What?
The Disney Nerds podcast started.
How about that? And wouldn't you know it, 2014, we've already hit show number 15. So that's great.
There you go. We're rocking and rolling.
Yes, we are. And we're looking for help for you guys. Anybody out there who wants to send us any ideas you have about the show, let us know what you think. Let us know if we missed anything in our 2013 review. And put it in an email. Send it to us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. And we'll be sure to read it on the show. We're also looking to hear from people about their experiences at Walt Disney World. Have you done something that other people haven't done that often or something new that's down there? Definitely send us an email. Let us know about it. We'd be really interested to hear about it and maybe even have you on the show. So that's it for our year 2013 in review. We want to thank everybody out there on Facebook and basically out there listening to our podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Without you, the show really wouldn't be worth the while.
And if you're planning a trip down to Walt Disney World in this upcoming year, please give us a call at Once Upon a Time Travel. Just send me a message on Facebook or you can email me at onceuponatimetravel@yahoo.com or give us a call at 504-304-4904. We'd be happy to do all the work for you. We are a fee-free agency, so it doesn't cost you anything extra to book with us. And Disney just announced all the discounts for basically March through June of this year. So if you want a quote or to book a trip, please give us a call. Thanks.
Real quick, Jimmy, before we continue on, if I was to call, how long would it take me to get a quote? What kind of turnaround?
If you give me a call, usually by the end of that day or the next day.
Great. Awesome.
If it's not really Disney pertaining, but if there's any other listeners in Minnesota, stay safe and get out of the cold weather. I know it's been very hellacious up here, but just stay safe, stay warm. Don't travel out if you don't need to.
Definitely.
Great advice. Stay home, watch a Disney movie in the warmth. Okay, well, again, thank you very much for listening, everybody. This was show number 15 of the Disney Nerds podcast, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Quaharini.
See you guys. Happy New Year. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm your basic average girl, and I'm here to save the world. You can't stop me because I'm Kim Possible. There is nothing I can't do. When danger comes, just know that I am on my way. It doesn't matter where or when.
impossible. Call me Big Man if you want to reach me. When you want to face me, it's okay. Whenever you need me, baby. Call me Big Man if you want to reach me. Call me Big Man if you want to reach me. Doesn't matter where, doesn't matter when. I will be there for you till the very end. Danger or trouble, I'm there on the double. You know that you always can talk impossible.
So what's the sitch?
Call me, beep me if you wanna reach me.